From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made earlier this year at the Greater Rochester International Airport. And maybe you noticed, the airport moved some art to make way for more advertising. It's simply a matter of money. Airport Director Michael Giardino told the Democrat and Chronicle that he's mandated to do the best he can for the airport's bottom line. If Wegmans or Frontier or the University of Rochester wants to advertise, Giardino says he's obligated to take their money, and so he did. But artists say that when visitors arrive in Rochester, they should be greeted first with cultural assets, not advertisements. The art, at least some of it, is now stored in a warehouse, and they're high-profile pieces, one called Lunar Eclipse, an abstract clock by Rochester's own Wendell Castle, and there's more. This debate about art at the airport has opened a broader conversation on the place of public art. So let's talk about that and explore these issues with my guests for the hour. And they include Blue Cease, the executive director and curator of the Rochester Contemporary Art Center. Blue, welcome back.
Thanks, Evan. Great to be here.
Richard Margolis is a photographer and something of an activist. And Richard, nice to see you as well.
Thank you.
And Rosalind Bax Goldman is the past president of the Appraisers Association of America, an art appraiser. Roz, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
We reached out to the airport and to Monroe County and want to just note a couple of things here. The assistant director of marketing and public relations for the airport, Jennifer Hanrahan, told us that they are respectfully declining the invitation to come on the program today, but they did have a conversation with the Democrat and Chronicle. I'll be quoting from that as we go throughout the program. And they did tell us the following about public art or about art at the airport. First of all, they say the airport owns the artwork and the artists were paid. And although under no contractual obligation, airport officials have met in the past with the artists to discuss suitable alternate locations. Determining appropriate display locations is an ongoing process, and no location in the terminal can be guaranteed. That comes from the artists. We also reached out to Monroe County, and they also declined, but Bill Napier is a spokesperson for Monroe County, and he wrote us the following. Assistant County Executive Van Strydonk respectfully declines the invitation to appear on Connections. And they note that they say it's important to note that Mr. Van Strydonk and Mr. Margolis have only spoken once by telephone. In that conversation, Mr. Van Strydonk inquired as to Mr. Margolis' willingness to discuss alternative high-profile locations for the photographs owned by the airport, such as the new downtown MCC campus, but he was unwilling to do so. And so Bill goes on to say, airport officials tell me that Mr. Margolis has indicated to them at this time he is unwilling to consider an alternative location within their facility. The airport remains willing to discuss alternatives should Mr. Margolis change his mind. Richard, is that wrong?
Technically, it's accurate. I don't feel qualified to negotiate another location. That artwork was designed for the airport. It went through a public art commission. When the county legislature refused to fund my project and several others, a group of patrons contributed the funds to pay for it. And I think there's an obligation to those people and the community to use the artwork the way it was intended and the way those funders planned. Locating my prints in the new Monroe Community College campus just isn't appropriate.
Why is it not appropriate?
Because it's not a gateway to the city. It's not where visitors would see it. I'll never go there, probably. The people I've talked to about that phone conversation, when I asked them if they'd ever go there, they kind of shrugged. I mean, probably not. It's not what those prints were intended for. They were designed for a specific location in the airport, which welcomes visitors to Rochester.
All right. So let's back up before we get down in the weeds on sort of piece by piece here and just talk about the issue of art at the airport. First of all, Richard, your concern, not just as an artist, but for someone invested in the community, is you think people should get off the plane visiting the city and see what?
They should be welcomed by something that Roz can probably talk about it better. I feel like I'm too close to it to be able to kind of give an overview. But one of the things I did is Google airport art. And airports all across the country, lots of them, boast about their public art. Our airport is going to be the only one that can't boast about its public art. It'll boast about its advertising, about Sal's Pizza, and about cars they locate in the terminal, but not about world-class art.
Raj, what should people see when they get off the plane?
They should see what we do here. They should see that we have culture here. We have music. We have Finger Lakes. We have wineries. We have artists. We have universities. And we have industry, intelligent people who strive to do good things in this community. And the airport tells them nothing. So if you're here for, let's say you're here for a job interview, you've never been to Rochester, you get out of the plane and you walk down the ramp and you see nothing to tell you why you should move to Rochester. There is no indication that we do anything here or that we have any resources. And art is not the only, when people hear public art, they think of sculpture. That's not the only thing that public art is. Public art is anything that the public realm includes visually for people. And we don't have that in our airport. Actually, we don't have it too much in our city as a whole. It's a shame because this is a community that is so rich with resources and was sort of a well-kept secret in that sense. So if people come and they learn immediately by getting off a plane what we have and how good we are with that sort of asset, it would be a boon to our economy. And people, there was one person who said, well, I would never go to the airport to look at art. That's not what we are thinking about here. We're thinking about enhancing an atmosphere to make it interesting, to make it special, to say, hey, this is great. Look at this. This was done here. We have world-class artists that live and work here. You wouldn't know it.
Now, let's be clear on what's been moved. And I don't know if you guys can sort of run down some examples of the pieces. I mentioned one, but and of course Richard's work, but what are the examples of what's been moved at the airport?
Nancy Jurr's large sculpture entering Terminal A was moved to put in a business center from Frontier, which nobody uses. I have tracked it, and so has Nancy Jurr's. There's never more than one or two people in there, and usually no one. So that was a very large, I think it was 15,000 pounds of clay. And Nancy did this wonderful piece. That's gone. There was a tapestry by Ruth Manning. I saw that one day in one of the private offices in the airport. It was a small work that could have been kept anywhere. It did not need a huge wall. And Wendell Castle's clock. I mean, we have Wendell Castle living here, a world-class artist. The clock was where the Midtown clock is now. It was designed for that space specifically. And we were told that it had to be removed because of the new security regulations. Well, it was not put back. It was promised to be put back. It was not put back. And in comes the Midtown clock, which was supposed to be temporary, and that's still there. So we have a world-class artist that's not there anymore. Nancy Jurr's, more of a local reputation, but a huge, very successful work that's gone. And the tapestry is gone. There were five pieces. Bill Stewart's piece is still in Terminal B because I think that can't be moved. I think it's really sunk into the floor. It was specially built floor for it to hold the water in the pond. And the stained glass window on the apron of the airport, I don't think that can be removed either.
So, but Roz, just to sort of be clear here, the concern that our guests in studio today are bringing is not a self-interested concern about my art, my pieces. It's a concern about how we represent Rochester to the world that comes here. That's the concern. But, Roz, When Michael Giardino, the airport director, tells the Democrat and Chronicle, "I understand the concern, but we do own that art, and I have an obligation to be bottom line oriented." That's a mandate for him. So when advertising requests come in, he almost feels like he can't say no. That's his job, is to increase the bottom line. Richard, I know you want to weigh in. Go ahead.
I'd like to reply to that.
Yeah.
Airports across the country are maintaining and installing new artwork, public art. Michael Giardino says that he has an obligation that he told me that the FAA requires him to generate maximum revenue.
Make as much money as possible.
Maybe those other airports across the country didn't get that memo. Either they're out of step or he's out of step.
Blue sees the larger issue of public art, which we are going to be moving toward. How do you see the airport issue in the broader community? I mean, are we in a bad sort of a bad sort of a really subjective word? But are we? How is public art in this community right now? Is it being supported? Are you comfortable with it? How do you view it?
I think that it is being supported. I think there are a number of programs that are developing, and especially a couple new initiatives that are happening. But I think that the point that Richard and Roz are raising, and a number of others have been raising, I mean, this conversation about the airport art has been going on for how many years, Roz? Five? Eight?
More.
Yeah. More? 10? 10 years. So that question of what visitors are greeted with when they arrive in Rochester is sort of a whole different issue. It's more about our stature. Do we represent, does this city represent itself to visitors as an arts center, as a city that is rich in the arts? And I think this is a time for us to kind of reevaluate that, because clearly there's an impasse. If other airports are clearly investing in their image through artworks and through art programs, and our airport seems to be going the opposite direction. Again, I'm not fully involved with the details of this and the nuances over the years, but it seems to me that's really the wrong way to be heading if we're really building and promoting this city as an arts city. I'm pretty familiar with the public art program at the Philadelphia airport. I mean, there's at least one full-time staff at that airport curating exhibitions in each wing. International artists, local artists have rotating exhibitions there. It's a phenomenal program. And obviously we're talking about a completely different scale. The Philadelphia airport is a whole other animal than the Rochester airport. But it seems like if these things were considered on a proportional level, we'd see more of an investment in our image, the city's image, through the arts.
We can't have Blue Sea Sound without a question on, are we really an arts town? And this is just another sort of a thread of that. How do we represent ourselves? How do we want the world to see it?
Well, I think that's, I mean, clearly we're at that impasse. I think that there are many, many people and a growing population of locals and regional people who are involved with the art community or fans of the arts who are firmly committed to this city as an arts city. Perhaps there are other organizations, other entities, municipalities that aren't exactly on the same page with that.
Okay. Let me say this to listeners. I see the phone ringing already. You want to weigh in? We welcome your phone calls this hour, whether it's about airport art or public art in general. 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Somebody in the art community got word that this conversation was happening, because I've got a pile of emails that I'll be getting to as well. There's a lot of interest in this. People are very, very sort of locked in on this. And so let me get our first phone call, and this is Jack in Pittsford. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I just know that there is absolutely a lot of empty space over at that airport, a lot of wall space, a lot of large rooms, whether it's where you first go into the airport or near the carousel, and lots of wall space. So rather than looking at an ad for eye openers, you can look at an ad or look at some art along with that. Also, I would contact Jamal Rossi and have him come up with ensembles from Eastman and pipe quiet music by Eastman students through the airport. We're an art community. Let's publicize it.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for the phone call. And as it's often pointed out on this program, art means many things, and certainly music there. How do our panelists like that suggestion on music? Roz, what do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, I I see airports doing flash mobs with musicians, dance. I mean, we have all this here. We have opera. During holidays, a lot of airports have orchestras coming and greeting people. I mean, it makes such a wonderful, warm kind of welcome at travel, heavy travel times when people say, hey, this is terrific. Look what they have here. I think that it has to be said that from the onset of the public art project, which was really quite a while ago, there was strong opposition to it from various people on the airport administration. And we know that there were times when people on the airport administration were bad-mouthing the art from the very beginning and had somewhat of a plan to get rid of some of the art. We know that for a fact. We've heard it. So it wasn't like, well, security is a problem. We have to take Wendell Castle out. It was, we really don't like Wendell Castle's clock. And this has been going on by some administrative people in the airport in the past. And that's been carried over. When you go to Albuquerque, you get out in the airport and you know immediately from looking at the walls and looking at the cases what Albuquerque and what the New Mexican culture is. You don't know anything about us when you get out of the airport.
Let me read an email, though, from a listener named Sean, because I've got a bunch of emails supporting your position and concerned about the moving and the warehousing of art that was originally up at the Rochester Airport. But Sean writes an email to the program and says, Evan, when I buy a piece of art, I own that piece of art. The artist doesn't come to my house and tell me where it has to be hung or what I have to do with it. I don't understand why the airport is being pushed around by artists. That's from Sean. Okay, so Richard, you're an artist. Your concern is how the airport is using the art. Sean says you're being unreasonable. What do you say to that?
Well, there was a public art commission and a call for public art. The artists submitted proposals, went through a vetting process, went through a discussion. The art was designed for a specific location. The county, after some hesitation, accepted the art, and there were conditions. And I have a contract that specifies the locations. The present airport administrator may not be familiar with my contract. He hasn't been there very long. He certainly wasn't involved in the original contract negotiations. But there is an obligation to the artists. And more than that, there's an obligation to the community that contributed the funds, either tax money or direct contributions to pay for the art when the county refused to do it. So there is an obligation. And it is theirs, but it's not an old car that they can just sell off.
Okay, Raz?
Sean's argument is fallacious because Sean's art is Sean's art. And he can do with it what he wants, of course. I do with my art what I want. This is public art, and it was purchased for the public. That's an entirely different scenario.
And then the emails, there's a lot more that are supportive, as I said. Here's just a few. Dennis writes to us, why does the county put so much faith in attracting the corporate culture when we have been dumped by said culture? Why not try something new and different? Let's blow those button-down types away with art so when they return home, they will remember the name Rochester, New York, for something other than ex-Kodak. Mary Lee says, I think we should have the permanent collection reinstalled, as well as a space designated for rotating exhibits by local artists and galleries and art clubs. Communities which foster and display art always do better in all ways in the long run than those who don't. A lively and attractive airport would increase the status of Rochester as a cultural center. And Michelle writes, I wanted to add my name to the list of disgusted community members regarding advertising versus art being displayed at our airport. We need art to make a community cultural and vibrant. We have enough advertising. To take down art and replace it with ads is ludicrous. So, let me get back to the phones. Sam says there might be a compromise. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Evan, how are you?
Oh, Tim. Hi, Tim. Yes, I can recognize the voice. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, nice. You know, as someone who doesn't fly often, and that's, I'm like the majority of Americans, there's just a couple of things that I want in an airport, and it's really simple. I don't want to have to show up 3 hours early, which you pretty much have to do now. I'd like to get to my next destination on time and safely.
Good luck.
And if there's art there, great. I'm a big fan. We have some local art. We don't get to buy it that often, and I love it. But it's, you know, I kind of draw the analogy. When I was younger at my job, I thought if I got fired or if I quit, the company could never go on without me. I was the most important thing there. And that's what it sounds like right now. It sounds like whoever's artwork is the most important thing and no one dare touch it. Again, I appreciate art, but we're taking ourselves way too seriously if we're talking about this at the airport. It'd be nice if there was a compromise. That would be great. But I think people just got to take a step back and let cooler heads prevail, because we're all just microscopic dots on this earth. We're important in our own ways, but sometimes we just take ourselves too seriously.
Tim, thank you for the phone call. And a couple of notes there. Tim is saying he thinks we're taking ourselves too seriously talking about art at the airport. We are talking about art at the airport, but we're also talking about the broader issue, and we're going to spend more time in our second half hour talking about public art in general in this community. Blue's going to be able to talk about, you know, ROCO, outdoor public art exhibits, what's been going on, and then the long-term effort to prioritize public art and where public art should be and where it shouldn't be, or where it fits and where it doesn't, and how it impacts our community. But having said that, I'd like to go over to Richard Margolis, who's a photographer, whose art is, you'll find his art at WXXI. You find his art around the community. I've seen it at the Little Theater, and it has been at the airport, and that's been part of the question. Tim's worried we're taking ourselves a little too seriously. Richard, what do you think?
One of the reasons for having public art at the airport, the hub, the first impression people have when they come to Rochester, is that it emphasizes that we're a creative community, and it's not just creative artists. It's that the companies, the inventors, the new enterprises will all benefit from recognizing that we're creative and that we're capable of thinking differently and doing new things. So it creates an environment where we would all benefit.
Okay. And Blue, are we taking ourselves too seriously focusing on this issue, you think?
Well, I think, again, it goes back to the local perspective, the regional perspective versus the perspective of the visitor coming into Rochester. Some of us locals who fly out of Rochester often, we may have seen all of these pieces over the years, you know, tens or hundreds of times. Sure. They're old to us, right? We've seen them before. But a first-time visitor to Rochester, I think that's the perspective that we're trying to concern ourselves with here. And I'd love to hear from the tourism industry on that.
Okay.
What's the value? What are the studies surrounding this issue? What do visitors, when they first land in a city, expect?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And the phone continues to ring. So let me get back to that phone. Carlene in Rochester, next step. Go ahead, Carlene.
I concur with the woman who suggested returning the installation and adding a section for a rotating gallery. What it reminds me of is think of any attractive building that we have and remove the landscaping. The landscaping, whatever it might be, adds the embellishment and the richness and the softness and the beauty of the place you're visiting. And I feel that way about the art installation that was there. It added another personal dimension, cultural dimension, and I especially like the idea that her idea of the moving exhibit in whatever area might be available, because it reflects the nature of our city. So if you can just imagine a home with no shrubbery, a house with nothing on the walls, the bareness and the starkness, we've replaced that with advertising. I think I'll go and put a billboard in my front yard. I mean, it's too commercial, whereas what we have put there is something sensitive and beautiful It needs to be returned. Thank you.
Carlene, thank you for the phone call, and I think you're getting nothing but thumbs up from the people in this studio. So let me go ahead and turn to two emails that came in almost at the same time with very similar themes here. Glenda writes, although it's not their responsibility, wouldn't it be great if the U of R, Kodak, etc., could use local art at the airport to advertise their businesses, as well as the Rochester area, sponsors maybe? And Josh writes, just wanted to chime in, Evan. I side with your guest that we should have more art at the airport. But as a former advertising copywriter, I also believe that good advertising can sell a product or idea in a way that is engaging and exciting without beating the audience over the head. To that end, I'd like to see the local advertisers and their agencies take more care to mix business and art in the way that good advertising can. Thank you. From Josh. Thoughts on that, Roz?
Yeah, when we did the airport initially, there was an advertising plan. The architects for the airport had specified various ways of making the advertising uniform and the way it would be hanging and the way it would be shown. That, of course, was never followed. And one of the architects said, and I remember this from way back, I can't wait to see when they drive the first car into one of the terminals. And it happened really quickly after the airport was done to show off cars in the terminal.
That uniformity idea is at least designed to create a common aesthetic, right? That's a little more,
exactly.
Maybe a little less garish.
Yeah. Same, different sizes, different kinds of paneling to show it in a uniform way so that it's not scattered all over the place and every little stairway and wall and so on. And of course, they were concerned with leaving in place what we had for art.
It reminds me, by the way, Roz, of being in Healdsburg, California, maybe 10 years ago. And I remember one of the great little towns in the country. And you got these beautiful brick facades. And I said to somebody there who lives there, you know, you don't really have any fast food. He said, oh, we do. It's sort of hidden, you know. But, you know, we don't allow big plastic neon signs. But, you know, if it wants to come, it can come. It just has to comport mm-hmm. to our aesthetic. And I thought that was interesting. And that's kind of what you're suggesting for airport advertising. But again, Michael Giardino, who was invited on this program and respectfully declined, they pointed us to some of the recent comments that he made to the Democrat and Chronicle. He said, maybe that's a nice thought, but his job is bottom line oriented, that they need to make as much money as possible. And when someone calls and says, I'll pay you to advertise, he has to say yes.
But he has to do it right. It has to look like something. And the bottom line, I have a business. I understand that. But I think that there's always a good way and a bad way to do everything. And the way Richard's photographs were hanging, as you left the airport on the right side, you had five views of Rochester and our heritage. And that wall is now advertising. The advertising could be in a different place in the terminal where you don't leave thinking, I'm going to go to Wegmans or I'm going to do this and do that. Now, if Wegmans wanted to be really charitable and smart, they would sponsor Richard's five photographs leaving with a sign saying, Wegmans contributes their advertising to show this public art. And their respect that they would gain from saying Wegmans is interested in showing what Rochester's about, since this is their home, I think that they get more out of it than having a huge splash about vegetables and fruit.
All right, so I confess I'm almost blown away at the public feedback on art at the airport. I want to take a couple more phone calls. We'll get our only break of the hour, and then we're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about the broader issue of public art. But let me go ahead and keep it going because people are really engaged here. Ruth in Rochester, next up. Go ahead, Ruth.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to respond to the caller who said we're taking this too seriously. If artists don't take their artwork seriously and the artwork by others seriously, probably nobody else will. They are just simply advocating for themselves and advocating for our community. And I don't think that was the intention, but I felt that comment was condescending and sort of misleading.
Ruth, thank you for the phone call. And
maybe just to, you know, as I'm a little bit more distant from this issue than Richard and Roz, maybe I think part of the complexity there is that Richard has been a huge advocate for public art all around town, has been very involved with this issue, and also has a horse in the race, so to speak. There, some of the works that have been removed are yours. So I think that kind of muddies the waters a little bit. But I think if someone knew more about Richard's background and involvement in a lot of different campaigns and initiatives around town, he would be carrying this banner if his work were not involved. And I think a lot of people in the art community know that this really is about the image that the airport presents to the visitor as they arrive in Rochester for the first time or for the first time in 10 years or what have you.
Okay. Roy in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Roy.
Good afternoon. I think you have a distinguished panel, but I think you're talking about the wrong group. I think that we don't have the mayor or a city arts rep. Is there any politician who's willing to stand up and defend art? I don't think so. I think they're a band of Philistines. I think that, as they said, money was leading them. I signed that petition in the beginning. Less than 1,000 people were, I think, willing to sign their names to saying it was wrong to take artwork out of the airport. It's a disgrace.
Roy, thank you for the phone call. The petition, I assume he's referring to the online petition. Roz, what is that?
I think Richard should speak to that. Okay. He did it.
Okay, go ahead, Richard.
You can find the petition if you search the internet, Google Restore Airport Art. It's a change.org petition. It includes a history of public art at the airport, the development since the projects were installed, and it's directed at our county executive. And I have a copy of it here. I'm sorry, it's not right in front of me. But I'm asking for people to support that Monroe County should demonstrate appreciation of the arts and creativity, improve the impression presented to visitors by restoring the public art projects already paid for by the community. There should be a city-county public art commission to plan, coordinate, and encourage art in public places, and 1% of all future construction funds, government construction funds, should be dedicated to the commission in installation of public art in Rochester and Monroe County.
Okay, so that's the petition that Richard is talking about, and Roy was talking about.
850 signatures. When I left for the studio today, there are lots of comments in addition that are fascinating to read.
To Roy's question on, well, where are the government leaders? We reached out to the airport, and they respectfully declined to participate in this discussion today. Again, saying that they've talked recently to the Democrat and Chronicle, and saying that the airport owns the artwork and is under no contractual obligation to show it, but that they are willing and ongoing conversations to discuss alternative locations to display the artwork. We also reached out to Monroe County, and a spokesperson told us that county leaders declined to participate as well, but they also said the same thing, that they are open to alternatives here. So that's where that stands, Roy. Let's get our only break, and then let's use Roy's question to pivot, because we're going to come back and ask, well, what about the city? What's going on in Rochester? What about public art outside the airport? What else is happening there? Blue Cease is here, the executive director and curator of the Rochester Contemporary Art Center. Richard Margolis, a photographer and an activist, and Roslyn Baxt Goldman, past president of the Appraisers Association of America. More on public art next. And tomorrow on Connections, Hillary Clinton has secured the Democratic presidential nomination, according to the Associated Press. But Bernie Sanders is still saying he wants to compete in the D.C. primary and perhaps go all the way to the convention. We'll see. The question is party unity. Can it happen? We're going to talk to voters on both sides in the Democratic primary. Then in our second hour, we talk about a program through the YWCA that pairs people of different races and ethnicities for 9 months to learn about other perspectives, an effort to bridge cultural differences. And we're going to hear from one of the pairs in that. That's all tomorrow on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We will get back to your phone calls. We continue to get calls and emails and comments online and various social media about public art. And Blue Sea's probably no surprise to you, right? People are really engaged about public art, aren't they?
They are. I think in many cities and many different situations in Rochester, public art is contentious. It's complicated. The selection process can be contentious. Putting artwork in a public space as opposed to, you know, inside a gallery or inside a museum opens up a lot of different challenges. But I think the value certainly and the benefits outweigh some of these complexities that come up either at the time of commissioning or in this case years and years later when the initial intention has been changed and or is shifting. Certainly the value of having that artwork there all these years can't be argued. And I think that an investment and a commitment to public art is on the horizon in Rochester. The city seems to be doing a couple new public art commissions, and over the years, the recent years, they've done some new programs, which I'm very excited to see. We've recently made a nice commitment to a new, very modest program, where we'll be commissioning one sculpture at a time. And I just want to step back and really distinguish what we're going to be doing from the typical model of public art, and that is that typically public art is commissioned and it's there for the foreseeable future. It has a permanent plan and a permanent site where it's located. And in part, I think some of these challenges and complexities that we're talking about stem from the permanent vision for a sculpture or an object or a mural to be sited forever. For 50 years, for 80 years, and really, what we're doing is we're bringing a slightly different version of public art programming to Rochester, and that is commissioning one piece at a time for anywhere from 2 to 4 months. The piece will go away. There'll be a pause, and a new piece will appear in that landscape, in that location. So, kind of re-enlivening and re-engaging.
And what's the location, by the way?
Right next to us, on East Avenue. We're working with our neighbors at Christ Church to situate one sculpture there at a time.
Okay. I actually have phone calls about other stuff outside the airport. So if you're on the phone, we're coming to you in a moment. But I think this goes to some of what Roz was saying earlier. Roz, you were indicating that your suspicion is that at the airport, the concern is they just didn't like Wendell Castle's clock. And is there a risk with public art, particularly when there's permanence involved, that some people might not get it, might not like it? Should subjective viewpoints come into play? I want to start with Roz, while I get Richard as well on that, because that can be, I mean, of course, we all view art differently, right? So how do you view that challenge in accepting and embracing public art, even if there's going to be some segment of the populace that says, I don't like it, or I don't get it, or I don't think that works there?
Well, the first thing you have to do is when you select public art and have a competition, you have a broad-based jury. So you don't get a whole bunch of art professionals in there. You get neighborhood people, you get people from the community, you get people from government, you get an engineer. You get a consensus so that you're hitting different kinds of people and it's not a snob aesthetic kind of selection process. So there, the example is one city in the Midwest, I think in Michigan, where they got a huge Alexander Calder Staybill, big sculpture. And people hated it. There were letters written in about how ugly it is and what does it mean and whatever. Now it's the logo for the city. Mm-hmm. It takes time to absorb and educate because it's not for everybody immediately. But what the woman said, for instance, landscaping, that's public art. You have to be broad-minded and think and approach a public art project with some open mind and look at it and think about it. And not everybody is ever going to like everything. There are also some laws, and I don't know if they apply to a municipal place like an airport, but there are some laws about artists' rights and placement of works of art. And I don't know whether the county ever looked into it before they removed people's work, but there was a big case in New York City with a big Sarah sculpture that was quite litigious. I'm working on a public art project now, privately funded but public, by Charlotte Square, the new apartments. They're doing a public park between their apartments and their houses, and they have just sent out an RFP for a sculptor to, they're paying for it, but there will be a commission work of art for a specific area, which everyone will be able to see and visit and sit on benches and look at. And I'm sure that not everybody is going to love it, but it will change the space. And as people sit there and think about it and participate with it visually and maybe even physically walking in and out of it, it's an educational process. It's a learning. And it's not easy for everybody, but it does change the space. It does make a new atmosphere.
Richard Margolis?
Well, getting a little philosophical, public art is controversial. It requires a different way of thinking by the artist. It's much more challenging than doing something that stays in your studio or goes to a favorite location, your personal location. You're making a huge commitment when you put something out there that's going to be there a long time. And on the other side, public art always stirs up, well, controversy, debates, argument. There's never enough money. Some artists are going to be awarded, and some artists are going to be ignored or bypassed. There's going to be difference of opinion there. But public art stirs up interesting discussion. And it ultimately, it's about our values. It demonstrates creativity in the community. It's what we're about. And the artwork that was selected at the airport was a series of pieces that represent the best in our community. And taking them out, replacing them one by one with model planes hanging from the ceiling is not about us. Has nothing to do with where people are arriving and who we are.
Let me get back to your phone calls. Ingrid in Penfield. I'm sorry, let's go to Gail in East Rochester. Go ahead, Gail. Hi, Gail, are you there? Gail, are you there? All right, Gail, call back. Let me get to Mike in Rochester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, I'll try to make this short.
Sure.
I know I'm echoing the views of a lot of your callers today, but I do travel quite a bit, and I think it's incredibly short-sighted to remove the public art from the airport. The airport, this is a window on your community. This tells people what you are about. It gives a feeling of what our community is, what kinds of things we value. It's subliminal in a lot of ways, but it's so important, and I just don't get it, you know, to take it out and put in advertising. Maybe it's pure money. I don't know. But it's a big mistake to remove it. And I'm really serious about it. The airports I remember all over are the ones that have some really unique sort of thing in them. Some artwork, some pieces, something above the hustle and bustle of an airport. I mean, it really is an important thing. And people who have money, who come through our area, who can afford to create new businesses and bring new businesses here, they understand this. Thanks.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. Blue, go ahead. You wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, and pile on. The concept of Rochester embracing public art, I wanted to step back to that. You know, look at the success of the wall therapy program. These guys have built an incredible initiative, bringing in internationally known mural artists and street artists. And Rochester now, in the last 6 years, 5 years, has become known for this program. This is public art, and it's totally on trend. Memorial Art Gallery has invested significantly in some new public art projects and public artworks there, the Neighborhood of the Arts. There are little programs happening all around to show that Rochester is embracing public art, perhaps not enough for some of us, and perhaps not in the right way to satisfy everyone. But I think what we're talking about here is something that is the airport move this airport situation being totally off trend.
And here's Eric Lehman writing to us on Twitter saying, we've put up over 115 wall therapy murals in 5 years. So,
yeah.
And Eric, if you want to check it out on Twitter, he posted a map with locations on where that is, and pretty neat to see.
Huge.
So go ahead, Roz, before we get back to your phone calls. Go ahead.
I think I really have to mention that Rochester, for all its riches, is one of the medium-sized cities that does not have a governmental arts planning commission. I have a whole file on different cities, equivalent size to ours, where they have a broad-based county, city, whatever, commission that deals with planning for art. This neighborhood really needs something. Let's get together. Let's get a RFP out. Let's raise some money. Let's do this over in XYZ community. We have no forward thinking about that at all. And we have efforts all over the place. If the effort is good, we get an excellent work of art. If the effort is poorly organized and not well chosen and well based and well thought out, we get a piece of junk that we are stuck with forever. And we have total disorganization. My big example of that is when Dan Gill and a bunch of other big important people decided that the bridge over the river on Main Street should be improved, and they got Albert Paley to do the bridge. We really lucked out. It could have been an awful mess. But they got the best artist who did the wonderful job, and the bridge is an important piece of public art. But we were lucky because those people happened to have some knowledge and some taste. And to have a city like this without an organized plan for doing what we should be doing is really like a waste of time.
All right, Gail in East Rochester, back to you. Go ahead, Gail.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
I lived in the Albany area for a while, and my husband was part of the group that got that gallery going in the Albany airport. And it really has become a destination for people. And it's a great way to spend some time and look at art while you're waiting for a plane or your kids get to see things that they wouldn't normally see. So I really do think that what your guests are saying is totally accurate. We're more than man cannot live by bread alone.
Gail, thank you. Go ahead.
We need art. And also, can I just make a quick comment about the Memorial Art Gallery?
Oh, sure, yeah, go ahead.
Exhibit there of that public space. I think, this is just, art is very personal. To me, that is not park that welcomes people. It's a park where some artist is on a big ego trip, and yeah, it's cool, it's sophisticated, but I think the community should have been more involved with that, and I know there was a controversy about the artist, but the community needs to be involved. Thank you very much, and have a great program.
Well, Gail, thank you for the phone call, and that last comment there. You know, it certainly takes all kinds, and there will be some who view that Archie's talking about in that last comment very differently. But it just goes to show you all the various opinions about art. But I think one of her comments was about accessibility. And so let's start to wrap this conversation. Roz, when it comes to public art and its future in this community, you want to, what's the most important sort of consideration going forward that our community needs when it comes to public art?
Well, we need planning, number one. We need the communities to be involved in the planning. We need ideas. Public art is not just sculpture. It can be gardens, it can be sidewalks, it can be benches, it can be fountains. We need people whose communities need help. I mean, we have this anti-poverty program going. We had that group that came in, Rochester got picked to be that wonderful recipient of advice from the group that met at the Memorial Art Gallery. And one of the things that said, we need to enhance our streetscapes.
Yeah.
And to have our streetscapes look so banal it could be saved by public art. We need a 1% for art for new construction. Every decent city has a 1% for art new construction. I don't think there are too many cities in this country now that's having as much new construction as we are, especially downtown. It's coming up like mushrooms and renovations. And those construction budgets, 1% is a tiny bit that would change all those properties and draw people to the city and learn about just a change of atmosphere, the pleasantness of it.
Now we're down to our last minute. Richard Margolis, about 30 seconds. What do you want to make? What do you want to leave with listeners about public art?
That it's important, that it's about who we are and our values, and to a little extent, enjoy the controversy, because it makes you think.
And Blue, for people who want to see the 2 to 4 month installations, the temporary public art outside Rocco again, when's that going up and what's the schedule there?
The first piece was installed June 1st. It's called What You Put In. It's by a local artist named Kevin Dart. He built this incredible piece that relates to the Great Lakes. It'll be there through the end of September. Right, 24/7, open, free to the public.
And you can see that now. Thank you to our panel for discussing this. And again, if you missed some of the conversation, we certainly did reach out to both the airport and Monroe County. They respectfully declined to participate, but you can see a lot of interest. Blue from the Rochester Contemporary Arts Center, always good to talk to you. Thanks for being here, Blue. Richard Margolis, a photographer, activist. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
And our thanks to Rosalind Bax Goldman, past president of the Appraisers Association of America. Thanks, Roz.
Glad to be here.
All right. Also, thanks to Ket Schwarz, our engineer. Deprina, our intern. Megan Mack is the producer of Connections. And I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk with you on a Friday.